interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTW RLM 549. Again, we're trying to get through this news. If you can notice this news, it's really the notice to us of how things are going. I've told you over years and years and years how you can use it to look ahead so you can position yourself away from where the train's going to run over. And potentially, if they're coming after you at some level, you'll be able to know better how to respond. And Kobe Swindle gave us the perfect opportunity that I could explain how that would work. Very few people took that up, and we watched the whole world fall, and the people who did that are still in control, and they will be. And they took along a lot of lessons from our inaction and proper action. The ones that didn't participate aren't out of it because that's not the end game. And they're moving this end game along, and we're watching almost people are looking like they're fulfilling a future. And that's a real hard one to differentiate. We don't hear anybody talking about it. They just do it. But part of that is to erase your memory so that there's no examples for us to rely on, you know, or change the record so that you can't quite figure it out. And it takes a lot of work to break through that cover, that occultation of what we think is going on. And it's very difficult anymore to move our way through. One of the things that has come up here recently is the cancel culture. And this is one of the mechanisms by which they used to get rid of a culture, the memory of it, and also the problem where even a bad memory is instructive, if it is a bad memory, that we can know by some monument not to do that, if that's the important part. However, and this is all I say this in hesitation, because a lot of people wouldn't agree with my position would be in the cancel culture side, and so they would certainly take issue with what I would have to say about it. However, we'll start out today. In America, your history is being erased. Why destroying Robert E. Lee statue is an insult to the nation. And so this is where we start on what's going on. We start on people rewriting the current goings on, the current rights. People are writing new law, if you will, new acceptances for people. They get rid of the old so that there's no example to balance it against. U.S. political left is no longer content with the canceling thoughts and words, but has taken its Orwellian sword to the annals of history as well. What will become of the nations that seeks to eliminate all vestiges of its past? That decision was made by the city council earlier this year because of the monument's presence disrespected parts of the city's community. While the left proclaims that destroying the century-old Lee statue will lead to a national healing, the truth is that they have torn open old wounds by cutting off the people from their history. It may be the most overused cliche of all, but it's always worth repeating. Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. And considering that the Civil War was the deadliest ever fought on the North American continent, it would do well to keep the pace of that history. Beyond the total respect here on this destroying the statue, there's disrespect to the artist and the effort to make a thing of antiquity. Those statues were not just made willy-nilly and took a bit of work to get them to do it. I was just watching the destruction of art, if you will, as well as the work of someone who believed in making that statue. And erasure of history also erases the culture of those that built the images of it. And you've heard me talk about this time period for almost the entire thing. It's Libra code is in the bottom of the blogcaster. I put it there for a reason. And when people finally figure out what Lincoln and the Northerners did to this country, I think they'll agree, as I've said for many decades, the South should rise again. And it may very well do that without the memory of what went on as these people destroy our symbols, our evidences, our statues, our antiquity, to lead us from good or bad example and memory to do the better thing. Why? Because they're going to rewrite the future in the future that they want. And the people that are doing that are absolutely clueless to what that is. It's warm and fuzzy, and that's all they know about. So this our author goes on to write, this leads us to the $50,000 question, what will the 6,000 pounds of bronze that used to be Robert E. Lee and his horse be turned into? All things considered, it's much easier to say what it will not be, and that's some white dude, either living or dead, unless they were born a biological female and pledge allegiance to the rainbow-colored flag and the 57 different genders. I would like to remind you, I noticed in that Obama said there was 57 federal states. Is there a correlation? I don't know, but I found that correlation pretty interesting as far as just the correlation of the number. And everybody thinks that Obama didn't know what he was talking about. You don't know what a federal state is. You don't know what Lincoln did to this place. Go study, folks, please. This is where you start to see more behind what's going on and how they can, if they, you've got that messed up, they can transition you and keep transforming this place and moving it on, and no one knows where to stop it. They think it's just normal, and you're losing a political battle. It's not that at all. It comes through a political battle, but it's your spirit is inside this destruction. Now, how about the 300? How about what are they going to do with this bronze? How about a 300-foot bronze flagpole from where the good people of Charlottesville can hoist their multicolored flag for an annual LGBTQ Pride Month? Or maybe a massive bronze throne from where drag queen story hours can take place, featuring cross-dressing wonders like Trixie Mattel, Alaska Thunder F asterisk CK, and Sasha Velour, who will enlighten youngsters as to the latest sexually charged reading material. And I'm going to remind you again on all this stuff. Silence from the people is what has gotten us here. And silence is going to bring this on, whatever they've turned that statue into. We won't have it as an example. And that Robert E. Lee had some very, he was very talented. And we're going to lose that too. It may have been on the other side of a line of political dissent, but it was talent nonetheless. We can look through history. You may not like what somebody did, but you have to observe that's people, that's in people, and that's a talent that was exercised on people. And we're going to lose all that. And part of this is not responding. When it goes negative, we don't respond as a people. Similarly, we have this fraud going on relative to all this. We have another fraud, ballot fraud, coming on. The Ridgeford election overturned after city officials pleads fifth to the ballot harvesting. And don't underestimate the connection to this and how the United States was undermined. The United States, the Union of States, was undermined by Lincoln. I've gone through the documents to show you that war isn't over. It's just in a stasis based on agreements of the state jurisdictions. Then you get the condition where the 14th Amendment comes on to impose itself, the federal, upon the state. And so there's all these connections. But we also get this connection to the United States government in Washington, D.C. You have those that are resident, and that's what your voter registration status is when you sign up for this. People don't understand what's going on and all that. And I'm not here to really talk more about that. If I can't get people to understand the most basic things about where America started to go and went, and where it's going to go, when the precipice is going to careen over at some point, I don't know what more to say. Voting's not going to stop it. The Bridgeport, Connecticut judge ruled on Wednesday, however, for those of you that do believe this, and you watch how the government gets changed over time, which is actually under international law proper. You change things over time. And you do it ostensibly, plausibly within the law. And you'll see a lot of how that gets working if you understand how the states were subverted in about the 50s. You'll see how that worked. International law is working all the time if you know what you're looking for. It's pretty interesting. A Bridgeport, Connecticut judge ruled Wednesday to overturn the city's Democratic primary election after video emerged of a woman who appears to be the city's vice chair of the Democratic Town Committee, Wanda Geeter Kateki, committing ballot fraud. No, the judge comes in and says it's not good. And so we see that there's some evidence that it was going on. The vast amount of it has got really getting thrown under the rug. And there's a, again, the propaganda is such that they pit the people against each other and you'll never get the proper view. This one snuck through. And we can see, again, it's not just only there, as I think a lot of people who did do the research found out. And you watched how the courts made smoothed it all over. And again, we were occupied not just by federal government and in the states, but the states themselves and the Bar Association that runs one of the branches of government. And it's supposed to check all these excesses and frauds, and it doesn't. And that should tell you something. It tells a lot of people something, but we don't quite know, as we, looking at this, what to do with that. More fraud here. That did get checked. When it gets looked at, you can see the answer, and people aren't up with it. And this is a jury. Now, what about wire fraud? You got ballot fraud, you got wire fraud here, and money laundering. FTX founder convicted of all criminal fraud counts after crypto exchanges collapse. So pending reversal on appeal, we can find out the gentleman's name was Sam Bankman-Fried, or Freed. And we had a question, how do you pronounce it? Well, I think pending reversal on his appeal, I think we can now say his name is pronounced Bankman-Fried, not Bankman-Fried. A U.S. jury has found FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried guilty on all seven criminal fraud counts linked to the historic collapse of his cryptocurrency exchange platform. Bankman-Fried, 31, faces up to 110 years in prison if sentenced to the maximum amount for each charge. Bankman-Fried is expected to appeal the results. Jewish Lewis Kaplan, who presided over the case, has requested that the government inform him if Bankman-Fried will face a second charge of campaign finance violations and foreign bribery, saying that he wants a decision by February. A potential second trial would could affect Bankman-Fried's sentencing date, which is currently set for March 8th. So we can see where fraud is not agreed to, not by the public in a jury, and not by a judge when he's faced, and he'll look at it. That judge in that ballot case, he did look at it, and he was shocked, beyond shocked. And this, I think, from what little I read about it, I have seen that evidence in all other jurisdictions where it was brought to question, and those judges didn't care. So we, as a people, have a problem. I don't know where to begin with all that. We're going to keep moving. If we're watching a whole lot of fraudulent motion going on, a whole lot of saber-rattling, we're literally at least the rumor of a brink of nuclear war, and the biggest brute in the world is not backing off. This is said to be deterrence and assurance to the Allies, to where the U.S. blows up an ICBM missile after test flight anomaly. Just think about that. First of all, they're doing the test. In a way, your systems are online. Well, those things are supposed to be designed, and they're supposed to know something. They said here, the test launch of the Minuteman III missile still provided vital data. Now, I don't know about deterrence or assurance here. You might have a question, too. If it had an anomaly, if this was a needed missile going to a place to detonate, to stop a nuclear war, or a country from causing nuclear war, it would have failed. It's not much of an assurance to me, nor a deterrence for someone who may want to do this. So understand the propaganda going on here. But we're going to find something else underneath the skin of it as we go through the story, and you read the news, and you see the notice, and you can expect what's going to happen now in government. Wednesday's test was announced by Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder in Tuesday's press briefing as a way to demonstrate the redundancy and reliability of our strategic deterrent system while sending a visible message of assurance to allies. Wednesday, the test comes amid a push for expansion of modernization of the U.S. nuclear arsenal, the critics have said comes without regard for cost. Oh, so it was blown up as a reason to ask Congress for an open checkbook to cause nuclear Armageddon. What's a couple of million dollars in a lost missile when the Zionista-controlled military-industrial complex will get billions to threaten the world with annihilation, just like the Palestinians are being annihilated, genocided, while the threat of nuclear means by Israel is not off the table. And I hope you saw the news of that. I don't even have a link for that story. They're actually thinking about nuclear weapons. Now, they have these very small weapons now. They're called tactical nukes. They're very interesting. They're not big old giant fat boys like we thought. And they're very powerful. And the technology behind them is very fascinating stuff. But it's destructive nonetheless. But here we are. We blow up an ICBM missile for deterrence and assurance measures. And to me, that they admitted it was an anomaly isn't so assuring and doesn't deter anything in my mind. I don't know about you. Very interesting. So what they're after is the modernization. They want an open checkbook to threaten more nations. You know, I have a feeling that we are looking at another fraud, but more fraud. They promote a lot, and they don't really follow through. This is all just you boast a lot, but you're not really able to follow through. And I think Russia is kind of exposing that we did it to ourselves, the United States of America, when we didn't field a hypersonic weapon, and other countries already have. So watch out what's going on with all that. It just seems, again, it's a big money-sucking sound that's coming from the good faith and credit of the people, and they're being quiet about it, and so it continues, just like all this other stuff. Deterrence is apparently the watchword for a part of the week here, as we also see U.S. government ordered to stop destroying border barrier. A Texas judge has barred federal agents from cutting concertina wire installed to block illegal aliens. The federal judge in Texas has ruled that the U.S. President Joe Biden's administration can no longer cut or remove razor wire deployed by the state along its border with Mexico to help stem or record influx of illegal aliens into the country. Texas Governor Greg Abbott called Monday's court order, quote, another win for Texas in our border mission, close quote, he added. Biden has created this crisis and has tried to block us at every turn. The state also is fighting a legal battle with the federal government over its use of floating buoys to block migrants from crossing the Rio Grande River. And so look at that real carefully, what I said before about the United States government itself being able to run the states. The Constitution still runs here in certain areas. Those are the reservations that the federal government could not overthrow even by war. And this is another thing. Watch. You got to watch all this stuff as you're reading the legal work, the determinations and declarations and this and that, that I've read in a few of in the broadcast, to show us how there's always this law that is working. It seems to be hidden, but it may not be the type that you expected. And this is where I find international law very interesting in its application. It's always working everywhere, all the time. In fact, there's a court case, I can't remember now, it just occurred to me. The Supreme Court said international law is always working, wherever you're at. And it's pretty interesting. Now, however, the restraining order is merely a temporary victory for the state. It applies only through November 13th unless it's extended, and another hearing in the case has been scheduled for November 7th. Moses ruled that in the meantime, U.S. Border Patrol agents can only cut the wire, razor wire, in medical emergencies. Enforcement of immigration laws is under federal jurisdiction, but Paxton has argued that Texas has a sovereign right to build border barriers. He also claimed that the federal agents were illegally destroying state property when they removed the border wire. And I thought that was an interesting and valid assertion there, that it is state property. It was probably on state property. And so there's a thing also in law where the federal government has this jurisdiction, but it may be overriding, it's prevailing in this matter. As it was not in Covey Swindle, the health authorities reserved to the states. This immigration is reserved power to the United States. And where the state asserted its property, that was a very smart thing to do. There's another writing thing about when the federal government makes a place, that's where it happens. They can't go willy-nilly. There's also here not stated, and I haven't read the court decision, but wouldn't it also be a state sovereign right to insist that immigration go through the established ports over which the federal government has deemed adequate for the purpose of its exclusive immigration authority, that would eliminate this willy-nilly entrance by migrants into a state just anywhere. It would have to be then asserted that it was at the port of entry, not other than at the port of entry, which I don't think, if you look carefully, and I don't know if it's even part of this decision, I think it may be that the entrance has to be within the federal government's exclusive immigration jurisdiction and subject to the state reserve powers where the federal government puts a port, an international port, for entry. That's where I think the state won. They say they've done that, but they're not enforcing that constraint and their exclusive jurisdiction. They don't have a jurisdiction outside to encroach at the rest of the state. This willy-nilly migrant entrance enforcement by the federales is an extra jurisdictional encroachment and a trespass on the state and private property by the federal government, is what I seem to see here, whether or not that's part of the decision. And the state's duty to protect the citizen in itself, not only from the migrants, but from the U.S. government, is a part of its of authority. Again, if it's prevailing in commerce, the federal constitution, Congress has the right to regulate commerce. The states cannot say anything about that. And so this is what we're talking about. Again, we're getting back to our basic organic structure, and you still see it in play. And Texas is using part of it. And again, it's not denying the federal government its immigration authority. It's saying, well, you've determined it's supposed to happen here. We're protecting ourselves where it's not happening there. And if any of this is, I think any of this is correct, why has the matter been reduced to one of uniparty infighting instead of a straightforward organic law, as you read the story? It's an internal fight within the government. This has nothing to do with any of that. This is, again, you know, some of the border folks, they're not that silent. But generally, as a people, we're silent. The problem is here, the silent people having the duty to alter or abolish the government when it doesn't fulfill those needs, and it continues to be in maladministration. Bring comes up right away here. Now, the state is now standing instead. That's the people speaking from the state. And it's going through the court, so we don't quite rise to the right of alter or abolish, but where the government's not going to fulfill that, whether state or federal, then we have to, as the people, we have to start pressing them. Do I say do it? No, not if you can get them to go ahead and do what they're supposed to do. You just show them that that's what they have. You have a right to do as the people. And I would say that's also a state-reserved power, the right of the people in each state. And so that's against the federal government, notwithstanding what Lincoln did. And that's an open question in a way, because if you're in a military, occupied military, you know that's what's coming. And so maybe that's the other answer. But what do you think? Think about how this works. Are we silent on our last rights to shut stuff down? Everybody's saying, these state governments and the federal government saying this is within our jurisdiction, our exclusive jurisdiction. Well, what's in the jurisdiction of the people? Have you thought about that? Has anybody really thought about that? Again, I'm not saying do it, because I don't think we're an intelligent people at this point. I think we've lost too many examples of how we should be responding. I've been here behind the woodshed trying to explain some of that, how we get ourselves back on that track. But this is a matter of reconsidering what we have failed to do. It was in our power to do. Texas gives us an example. The federal government may be powerful, but it's powerful only here and here and here, and the rest of it's ours to deal with. Another type of state-sponsored attack, we have the federal government doing its policies, extrajudicial policies, with a federal judge temporarily at least, says, you know, the federal government, you can't do it that way. We're moving on to another country, but you see it's standardized. This is a state-sponsored attack. Doesn't matter what country, their governments will kill you. All governments have in history, and it's not. I don't know how we get around it. Indian Prime Minister MP seeks probe after Apple warns of state-sponsored attack. There's a lot of players coming in here. This is interesting. It sounds like it's a little off track, but when you think about what state-sponsored attacks are doing, and then relative to your future, we're talking about Apple, one of the biggest companies, the richest company in the world, if I understood correctly, unless that's changed in the last few years. Who is the purveyor of all these electronic devices that seek eventually to utilize the future economy, which you likely will be subject to if you don't start doing alternatives. You'll see the global state-sponsored attack that can that Apple is starting to warn us about. And there's a reason, probably a reason for it. The tech giant told several politicians and public figures that their iPhones were likely compromised by government-linked hackers. Now, think about this, what I've been telling you, that they are compromised. If this is beyond Snowden. Then Snowjob shows up and confirms it. But that was also to throw stuff into the wild so that we'd have these hackers. And this gives now Apple, I think they're feeling the heat, and they better not give themselves some distance. To me, this is Apple's cover our bottom side COB moment of truth. They need to make some distance on this ability that's been built into their hardware. Opposition MP Priyanka Chaturvedi wrote to Modi and Home Minister Amit Shah on Tuesday calling for action after receiving a notification from Apple regarding a possible government-linked attack. Chaturvedi was among dozens of opposition politicians, prominent public figures, and journalists to get the email warning from the tech company. Quote, I believe it is a violation of my fundamental rights and contrary to the laws of our country to engage in sophisticated hacking in an attempt to monitor my actions and movements. Chaturvedi, who is a member of the Shiv Sena party, said in her letter to the Indian minister. She added that the warning, if accurate, quote, raises serious questions about the country's intelligence agencies targeting opposition figures, and similar letters was addressed to Shah asking for an investigation into the matter. Quote, Apple does not attribute the threat notifications to any specific state-sponsored attacker, the company said on Tuesday in a statement. The U.S. giant said, adding that detecting such attacks relies on threat intelligence signals that are often imperfect and incomplete. And I'd like to make an observation there. There is your Apple COB movement. Cover our bottom. This is a big business decision right here. And you thought Apple had a core. No, they have a bottom. A bottom line. This is the center of Apple is not a core, but there we go. Now that shows you that Apple is not nature. They are in business. They're in business with the governments. They will be found out, their products will be found out to be what they have been. And now this is throwing off that part. Do you think that, quote, the country's intelligence agencies targeting opposition figures is the only serious question here? This representative doesn't seem to be too concerned about the rest of y'all being subject to the same scrutiny as a token citizen. The CBDC, the biometrics, sustainable servitude, to name a few, your life controlled by one of these state actors or other hackers through a known completely corrupted phone that people willingly buy to their demise to the immense unaccountable profit of the corporations, as I've been talking over and over about. We're walking right into that digital gulag. We're doing it. It's fascinating, but this is an interesting dynamic of looking at the state-sponsored stuff. And then you just have the hackers that are out there as well, all given the information from the United States government. And just coincidentally, in the same news cycle, and to drive this point home, of your token citizen cyber insecurity and the Aadhaar system I reported on a couple of weeks ago. It's in the news now. Why all of a sudden now? It comes in the news again as we hear what Apple might be talking about. It doesn't want to be blamed for this. It's looking for its bottom line. It's covering its bottom line. It's covering its bottom. There's a cob at the middle of this apple. There's not a core. Personal data of 815 million Indians leaked online. A hacker has tried to sell the information for $80,000 on the dark web. According to the company, the stolen data includes Aadhaar's individual identification numbers that serve as a proof of identity in India, and passport details, names, phone numbers, and both temporary and permanent addresses of millions of Indian citizens. There it is, right there, the future that they want on you. This is an interesting story to pop up right on the part of that Aadhaar system I wrote, I put in a broadcast. You go back, look on the internet, you can find real quick what it's about. It's a very sophisticated practiced system that can be adopted by any nation. And it looks like it might be moving into and onto this data information that's now available. These state actors, the states, no, the governments, are profiteers as well. The UK government could sell access to National Health Services data. Apparently, the government owns the health data of UK citizens, according to the Palantir CEO. I want you to do some research on Palantir. There's so much I've forgotten about Palantir, I'm not going to even start to talk about it. This is an integrated company. This is a global company. These people and data are a serious threat. The notice to you is that your governments are private entities that are not public. They are private relative to what you give them. They can sell your health data. And you can understand when they put you through a government health system, your data, your life, your future is not yours. Any company who wants to know about to pay money from one of these people like Palantir that does these programs nationwide, internationally, will give them the information about you. And if their insurance doesn't want to cover you, their health insurance as an employer, you're not going to get work. That's global. You're not getting work. So understand what's happening or somebody's bad entry that you don't know about. This is a very serious threat. Palantir being involved raised the ante greatly. And I think people, again, what I've been saying is coming to fruition. It's not a good sign. We're not doing much as a people generally or globally to stop any of it. And maybe in some places you can't. I don't know. The United States, we should be able to. I've shown people enough over the years to show you can put a formidable obstruction in front of officials in the United States of America. In other countries that are looking at rule of law and democracy, as we found in Covey Swindle, the due process is very similar, if not identical in some places. So the Bar Association being global is an aid here. In a way, if you look at the 14th Amendment, if we look at what the states are doing, being subverted as they are, the 14th Amendment becomes an aid to us, that we can use the federal government against a state now when they go rogue. But it's any port in a storm when you're going to be attacked. This is what I try to show you to look around for. Figure out a place to be that doesn't get run down. Don't be that bug on the highway. Find something else. We're going through this ID. It's all available to private. I've told you public-private partnerships. The third party vulnerability is going to be the big deal about that. You'll almost be forced to use third parties as they get licensed to do this. And we see this moving into these digital IDs. The economic system of India got hacked. I just reported on that. I hope people go read these links. They set us up. I don't know how, again, part of me doesn't know how I do this. Part of me also, there's another part that knows exactly how I do this, to give us this information weeks, if not days ahead, weeks ahead sometimes, months ahead. Covey Swindle was months ahead, predicting 4 years ahead about that, looking back a whole two decades. So you just can watch this roll on. It's not that hard. You won't have to be in the way. But here, MasterCard's digital ID project is being used by governments to track health and vaccination. So it's not just the UK having private possession to sell to private parties your health information. As private as you would think that would be, it used to be. I know in my lifetime it's changed. But this is all going by the wayside. In MasterCard's ongoing technological pursuits, there seems to be an agenda of consolidating digital dominance. It won't be just Palantir. You see, this is MasterCard. They're a force to be reckoned with in the credit card debt system. Not just debt system, it's the whole system, but I mean, having people that use loans and things like that, expensive ones as well. This is all where it starts to come to. They prey on people's needs. They create an environment that you need. People just have no way to stop, or they have no understanding to not engage these third parties that seem to be helping you out at the moment. But MasterCard is, through its technological pursuits, to be an agenda of consolidating digital dominance. Now you're MasterCard. Okay, got it. Master, you token citizen. The so-called Community Pass project, helmed by Tara Nathan, MasterCard's executive vice president, claims to integrate marginalized communities into the digital world. So you're an oppressed party by economics, and they're going to make it easy for you to get folded into this new digital world that we just heard in India. All that data got stolen and was going to be sold for a pittance relative to its value. And your anonymity, your life is exposed to whomever has the dollar or the buck or the krona or the SDR or whatever they have eventually in the CBDC world that's going to happen and do that to pay off and keep these people, these privateers, profiteers in business and controlling the chattel of the world, the cattle of the world, the people, the human animal. More countries are planning to link SIM SIM cards to digital IDs. Just watching a digital integration going on. This is, I reported on what's coming years and years ago. Again, a little bit hurt. I told everybody about, be careful of cryptocurrency. Be careful of the blockchain. It isn't what you think it is. It's going to have a special purpose when they get it done. It's not going to be anybody's hand in anybody's hands that can do anything with it, unless it's going to be controlled by somebody somewhere that has the power to hold on to it. You're watching everyone's whole life now. If it wasn't clear, SIM cards and digital IDs are being combined. Italy, Namibia. There you go. That sounds a little better. Mauritania. Where is that? Are among the countries implementing SIM card activation via digital ID. And Italy has now reached the phase where its telecommunication regulator, AGCOM, has greenlit the practice. Well, look at that power. We're going to talk about backbones in internet. Look at this power and who's making the allowance. A statement from Agcom said the mobile operators are free to activate SIM SIMs with either the electronic ID card, the National Services Charter, known as CNS, and the SPID, the Public Digital ID System. Did you know they were also organized in all these different categories? I didn't. No, these guys are way ahead of the people in the world. And they're folding it all together. MasterCard's already trying to bring a dominance to bringing integration of marginalized communities, and as the economies get worse, everybody becomes marginalized. You're going to be looking for help everywhere. We've been already hearing it. Biometrics before you can go to a food bank. They hit the worst people, the people in the biggest need. That's how the sustainable development works. I've been telling you about this for years. This method never changes. They're integrating your SIM cards. Like I said, go read, if you can stand it, go read all your policies that are underneath your phones. It's ridiculous, actually, at what you're giving over to people. Again, I guess I better just say it. Just get out of digital. Don't allow it. Do not allow it. As we see the globe, as a global world thing changing, we think it's just shifting its focus. The eye of Sauron just moves over just a little bit to highlight something of evil. Digital yuan. Did you even know they had one? We thought about it was just sesame, just social credit. No, they've already built it in like the Russian ruble. But this is an even more integrated digital yuan. Chinese currency's internationalization goes full throttle. The idea of a digital yuan or renminbi, formerly known as the digital currency electronic payment, was quietly introduced in 2014, with the Chinese authorities keeping silent about the bold project until 2019. Since 2020, the new digital currency has been tested by several Chinese cities. I want to integrate that time, 2019, right in time and before it went to COVID swindle. And you saw what they had to do to cause all the social credit system to be integrated was using that. This was integrated with that as well. Since 2020, the new digital currency has been tested by several Chinese cities. Thus, in October 2020, Shenzhen issued a 10 million yuan worth of digital currency to 5,000 random residents who applied to take part in the experiment. Despite doubts voiced by skeptics about the project's efficacy, the Shanghai Petroleum and Natural Gas Exchange announced on Friday that the China National Petroleum Corporation had completed a deal which envisioned the purchase of 1 million barrels of crude oil with digital renminbi, RMBs, The deal in question was reportedly carried out with the digital yuan wallet provided by the Bank of Communications, which is Chinese. It's the Chinese government. This is already in play. As we heard last week, I think it was, the yuan overtook the euro. This pivot to China, this sustainability condition of globalism, is hot moving. I'm blown away how fast this is moving along. At one time, I thought maybe they were going to miss the A2030. I thought they were going to miss it. And then COVID swindle hit, so that kind of changed it. But you heard. I was talking about this way back when, wasn't I? 2014. And now it's just coming out. And China's on the move. And China's, there's a focus. But remember, China last week was attached to SWIFT, so there's no new multipolar system. It's still the same economic servitudes that are coming. And the nations get treated different than the token citizens in every country. The token citizens are also subject to hacking, hackers, state-sponsored attacks, and all that other stuff. And that's how that's going to work out. So herding of the cattle is approved for digital IPINs, paddocks, to those familiar with the Mandalay effect. Remember that story. Russia to introduce new crypto restrictions. MP ordinary Russians will be banned from using cryptocurrencies, according to Anton Tikhachev. The internal circulation of cryptocurrency will soon be completely banned in Russia. Deputy head of the State Duma Committee in Information Policy, Information Technologies, and Communications, Anton Tikhachev, said on an interview with a Parlamentaria Gazeta news outlet on Monday. While cryptocurrencies are legal in Russia, their use is limited and insufficiently regulated, which the authorities have been working to amend. Quote, the digital ruble is currently used only within the country. So far, there have been no cross-border transactions, but the digital ruble makes it possible to conduct transactions without intermediary financial organizations. Solving the problem of international settlements amid sanctions, he says. Tikhachev explained that the ordinary Russians won't be able to use the cryptocurrencies to shop inside the country under the planned amendments to crypto laws. We did not specify when amendments may come into force. Russia businesses, on the other hand, should be allowed to conduct crypto transactions, Tikhachev said, especially amid Ukraine-related Western sanctions that effectively cut Russia off from the Western financial system. He noted that the country's central bank and the ministers of industry and trade have already developed a tool for conducting cross-border payments. The system is currently being tested and is expected to be introduced in several months. Sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? But no. You Ruskies, you're going to be confined to the state token citizenship, is what that says. And commerce rules over everything and has privileges. You don't, as a token citizen. The regulation of crypto, largely, as I said, what happened years ago. No government likes competition. It's like that we've heard to Ron Paul, had a little sign on his desk. No government likes competition at all. I told you that was going to come for the Bitcoin, the crypto. And here we have Russia being the first ones to start to explain that. Even those here professing the new ordered world, it's not going to be a new ordered world. It's just transforming a more efficient control for my listener globally. So listen very careful what I've been saying. This news is telling us this notice of what's going on. And it's showing us the path of essentially the destruction of people everywhere. And Russia is on the cutting edge. For anybody who ever heard me talk and think I was really bolstering Russia relative to Ukraine, I'm not talking about these political groups. I'm talking about the principles that are being operated. So we need to learn those a lot quicker and faster and start implementing those things of ourselves. When the Russia and Putin talks about being sovereign, I say, yeah, we need to talk about it. They talk about being self-sufficient. People can't do that. We can be self-reliant. We don't have the ability normally to provide everything that we need for ourselves. And that's going to be the slight distinction, but there's no less a sovereignty of decision and choice that we need to make to keep ourselves from being buried alive by this stuff. Remember, cryptocurrencies are in a system of control already. That's the other underlying thing I don't think people got. The internet is already a controlled environment. And so you're going to be controlled, period. You're going to have, and then you have to have all the hardware. You have to have the accounts. You have to have all that stuff. And so this will be docketed off of your, right now it's kind of cumbersome, but pretty soon it'll be off of your social credit. You'll be paying it with that. You won't even know it. So it sounds like it's cool in a way that they get to work all this stuff out, but you look very carefully. I told you the governments are going to regulate cryptocurrency. They're going to regulate it out, and you'll only be able to use what they offer. And anybody who, you can play cavalier, you can go ahead and use crypto in a country like that. They don't, you better not be caught. It becomes more like a national security problem and a threat, because economics is the main thing. And you'll notice Russia is going to production. I keep saying this is where the value is. They've been going to production. Why do you think, like, the last story about the digital one in China is in energy companies? Put this stuff together so we understand it's important what we're seeing, and we have to contemplate what that might mean for us when we look at our own lives. What are we conditioned on? I mean, having taken all the my utilities away, the essential services, and having to live this way has really opened my eyes. And I've said this before, and I think anybody who does this, when you have an emergency, until the emergency, you don't really realize what being a prepper is until you go through one. And then each emergency has its own peculiarity. I've learned a ton on what it takes to survive in these issues. And I can tell you, if we don't band together mutually and give ourselves outside help, you'll die pretty quickly. You'll end up done really quickly. I don't care how much you prepare. Things happen. Any technology that you can't replace on your own, you're not self-sufficient. Okay? Then we are so wrapped up in technology, and we are absent the memory of how to do a lot of stuff otherwise. And so it's been an interesting lesson to see, even if you can control and prepare, you're not that prepared. And over, I can tell you, the best preppers are not going to be able to do time. These governments have time on their hands, not us. They're perpetual. There's a law against perpetuities, but they're perpetual. Corporations are perpetual, but people are not. And that's the bottom problem of this. So, again, all this is just discussion of what I've been saying in the past coming to fruition. It's in the news, a notice to us, and people better everywhere better start looking out. You want to be like the Indian citizen? You want to be under debt to MasterCard, token citizenship to MasterCard debtor? All this is debt. And if you don't, you're going to have to start taking some drastic steps quickly to move yourself away from that. And moving now into more of the news of the day and the threat that was actually coming around the whole world, notwithstanding this threat, this globalism sustainable threat, the pivot to China, the moving into multipolarity, which is not, because they're focusing you on a surface issue when the system that's all tied to and hooked to is already in place, and it's going to be empowered once all these dominoes start to fall. And they're falling in a way that they've been set up to fall. And most people are unaware of how all that works. And granted, most of us could care less, it seems. You know, it's not in our face. It's not in our neighborhood. And people don't realize that the forces coming to bear are affecting everyone's lives. And I've watched the mechanisms going through, I guess, plausibly lawful. Like I said, the overthrow of the states in 53... some of them in the statutes, they admit it, was plausibly lawful. And I don't think they're lawful at all, but they did it. At least they did things that make it look like it's perfectly fine to overthrow the permanent laws of the people for a model business corporation. Think about that. And people let it happen. And it's still going on. So moving in now to the problem that we're looking at, the wars, rumors of wars and things like this. And the statuses in the world, and try to make sense of these and try not to get into the emotional back and forth. And being able to talk about somebody doesn't mean you agree with them necessarily. Their position may be true and may be right, and they need that. The principle is what needs to be supported. I want to go on here now, move into more threats to all of us, essentially, it looks like. I don't know who goes over the edge with this one, but as I said last week, or just before a couple weeks back now, among other things, that these Zionistas are an occupying force. They have no right of self-defense. I think I said that last week. This week, Russia supports that fact, notwithstanding what you'll hear just about anywhere else about Israel having a right of defense, contrary to what you've heard behind Oyshe. I came right out and said they don't have a right to self-defense. Why? Because they're an occupying force. Russia confirms that. But then Russia, in the UN, brings out even more. And this is maybe the story of Ukraine. When you look at Ukraine, since it's only existed since 91, and it's subject to contracts, if you will, treaties, conventions, accords, agreements, by foreign nations making agreements to protect against certain things that Russia then found was being violated. NATO was not supposed to move one inch east, and then it came into Ukraine. That's a pretty big problem. That kind of stuff is going on here. What did Russia UN envoy mean by saying Israel doesn't have a right of self-defense? You heard me talk about it, and here's someone else talking about it. But don't put on your emotion. Put on the legal international law ideas, what I've been bringing forward. Like I said, international law works all the time. Cuts right through the mustard, if you will. Vasily Nebenzia called the U.S. and its allies out for utter hypocrisy on Wednesday. According to the Russian ambassador, in crisis situation, Western countries are quick to lecture others to comply with humanitarian law and establish investigative commissions. They also rush to, quote, impose sanctions against those who use force only as an extreme measure to stop the years-long violence. However, in the case of Gaza, the United States stayed mum about, quote, the horrifying destruction in Gaza, which exceeds everything that they criticize in other regional contexts, multifold strikes on civilian facilities, the deaths of thousands of children, and the horrifying suffering of civilians amid a total blockade. The only focus of the United States and its satellites is Israel's right to self-defense, Nebenzia pointed out. Still, There is a legal rub, according to him and the guy behind the woodshed. But under the international law, Israel, quote, does not have the right of self-defense as an occupying power as per, and this is what he adds over my just simple look at the international law of it, and as per the International Court consultative ruling of 2004, Nebenzia then clarified that Russia recognizes, quote, Israel's right to ensure its security, emphasizing the necessity of a fair resolution of the Palestinian problem based on recognized UN Security Council resolutions. I do not agree with him on the right to ensure its security. I've talked to you about that. That's not my contention. There's underlying law that Israel will never and has never recognized, as all these nations who helped found it and then recognized it, is why Russia says they have the right to ensure security, because Russia has their dirty finger in this thing as well, as I've said before. But right there is your occupying power has no right of self-defense. Certainly, Israel turned around and denied it. I got a link for this coming. The point is, that's international law. And then we hear there's additional constraints on Israel. And as to those preconditional constraints, Ambassador Vasily Nebenzia is correct in stating that Israel is an occupying state whose occupation of Palestine has been declared illegal in countless United Nations resolutions. Professor Alfred de Zayas, a former UN independent expert on international order, told Sputnik, Israel's obligation under Security Council Resolution 242 of 22 November 1967 is to withdraw from the occupied territories and to allow the practical implementation of the right of self-determination of the Palestinian people, an inalienable right anchored in Articles 155, Chapters 11 and 12 in the UN Charter, as well as Article 1 common to the International Covenant of Civil and Political Rights and of the International Covenant of Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights. If you don't listen to the guy behind the woodshed, listen to this professor, I guess, too, as well as the Russian envoy, if you don't want to listen to him because, oh, he's a Russian. Again, forget their statuses if they're talking about objective basis or law or obligations that have been agreed to. It is important to recall, this article goes on, the ruling of the advisory opinion of the International Court of Justice of 9 July 2004, reaffirming the right of self-determination of the Palestinian people and the documenting of the serial violations of the UN Charter and international law perpetrated by Israel. Notwithstanding the clear language of the ICJ, Israel has not implemented any of the specific ICJ rulings and has been able to flout the UN again and again because the United States has abused its veto right in the Security Council approximately 80 times to shield Israel from condemnation and the UN sanctions, the retired UN independent expert continued. Let me interject. That shows you how useless the UN is, how dangerous that is, how self-serving it can be. Going on with the article, What are an occupying power's obligation? Is the title here. Dezeyas observed that within the framework of the court's ruling, Israel doesn't have the right to self-defense, but should be guided by international regulations for an occupying power. The issue has repeatedly been raised at the UN by the Palestinian diplomats. So, we see throwing off an occupier requires more than talking here, because they've been repeatedly putting this before the UN. When talking hasn't worked, or you are talking to the United Sympathizer Nations creating the occupation, you've got to come up with another one. Hamas cannot be said here, as I've been saying for all these weeks since this thing started, Hamas cannot be said to be wrong. The Zionistas, the United States, or any other aider and abettor, as well as those not taking action to stop the occupation, which would have been early on in the history, way back to 67, maybe even into 48, which I would actually advocate for. They take no action to stop the occupation and now becoming a genocide of the Zionista annihilation pogrom that we're now hearing about. Pogroms cannot be said to be a right or within right where an attorney general of the executive branch in the United States, at least, has an obligation and duty to protect the defenseless and oppressed. Go read about it. The duty to check the excesses of a co-equal branch should have had every attorney general criminally charging every Congress critter. Remember, they're co-equal, they're also checking each other. Notwithstanding the immunity of a Congress critter, they can't do crime. The Attorney General should have criminally been charging the Congress critters from their state voting to appropriate from the federal treasury money which aids oppression of the defenseless with appropriate criminal conduct against the laws of the United States and in concert with the harm of national security, as I look at all this. And when they are not here, these attorney generals, they have evidence of complicity as an accessory under 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4, as I mentioned over and over again. The very interesting duties in the law, if we were to get them to be enforced, over with officials, not making excuses, as we hear, but actually doing something. And then if they don't, they become an accessory to the crime they have allowed. And all this is evidence of malfeasance of office is causing, in the cause, if we look at it, causing a maladministration of government when it doesn't happen. The remedy to which is reserved to the people to alter and abolish. No different than Texas, as I was talking about. So this is an international condition that's actually a problem in the state of the United States, every government, actually, when people understand the issue going on with allowing an occupying force to go kill people. The problem is the United States and the United Kingdom created it, allowed it. And so they're part and parcel and accessory to the crime. Well, I don't expect anything else out of the criminal. So the point of pointing out what I've said weeks ago, that the occupiers have no right of self-defense, and contrary to everyone else in the world asserting, propagandizing even otherwise, as you've watched just about everywhere, is to reflect on the fact that when my listener gets behind the woodshed, the capacity to cut through the wailing and gnashing of teeth of these deceivers is increased exponentially. You will be able to separate the wheat from the chaff much more quickly, if not instantly, here, as you've heard me go through this, and make better decisions on the more proper course that you need to take of action, not just watching this stuff. Yeah, I've said it's over there. We know it's over there, but this is reflecting directly on decisions made here that the people end up becoming obligated to. This is our problem. So you also be able to decide from a much more solid foundation. And you would avoid not getting persuaded by the propagandized hive mind buzzing with system noise that we get from all the things that's going on by social media. So, well, for example, where it is an intentionally known condition that occupying forces have no right to self-defense, such as the Zionistas, it allows you, quicker than most, not only to see the invaders are criminal, as most people see that abhor things like genocide, but it also allows my listener, relative to people like uniparty Congress critters, taking their various sides for various reasons that aren't rooted in any objective basis. You cut right through and you get to see them, such as the obvious ones, the international law, the norms for peaceful international relations, to observe the deceiver and, more importantly, the how of their deception. I don't see just about anybody being truthful, even the ones that I thought might be. They will give license to Israel just for some other reason, not because they're an occupying force that's committing crimes. They've been recognized internationally for doing so. I just read it. Read it from reference to laws, and a professor pointed that out and backed up the Russian envoy about it. This is not to diminish Russia's problem. It's irrelevant. Everybody's a criminal here. They're all, want to keep pointing fingers at each other, but nothing gets stopped. People are dying for no good reason and by no good right. If these so-called representatives won't recognize the law, how are they going to recognize the law that you depend on for your protections and your pursuit of happiness and rights? Think about that. I'm telling you, this is a thing local to us. The foundation that you gain forms, in my listener that will here, the ability to call out these sorts of deceptions on a strong foundation, which can never be overthrown. And this is the problem what you watch. If they can't be overthrown, they then now start arguing that pointing fingers and ad hominems and all this other stuff. They deny, deny, deny. But you'll be right. And there's a foundation that you stand on, the foundation of rock, not of sand, like most of these people stand on. As I've routinely and repeatedly said, avoid all this. What I'm trying to show people is you avoid bringing arguments, what the court will call an issue that it determines, and that what you present to the posers, and though applicable in every situation, I'm just talking about this one, but this is applicable in everything across the board, typically for these matters, their official misconduct relative to these Congress critters is not a question. Bringing the facts and the settled law, just as I did for my listener with the Comey story. I just brought that law and I said, apply that to the official. Now, some of you did, saw it, even sent letters and found out what I was saying was the truth. They had nothing. How fast was that? Is exactly what I'm saying you get to do in all of this stuff. And after you find the base, the foundation and truth, whatever they're saying, you're watching a deceiver, you can identify. You just watch them. You can watch. Now it's almost a joke, except they're killing people. That's not so funny. So when more people see this usurpation in office, if we go back to our politics, and it finally sinks in how everyone, not just the Palestinians that are oppressed over there, are being destroyed, maybe, just maybe, the people will get the backbone exampled by our founding predecessors, apart from any political incongruities, because those are there in the Constitution. And we would throw off the domestic occupiers within the U.S. Constitution and international law. This is required as being an obligation and duty upon the people. And I was reminded about that by Gary L. I was focusing more on the Constitution, but you've heard me bring them both up. The international right to stop this oppression is an obligation. It's like watching a crime. You don't watch a crime. You arrest it, or you get help to arrest it immediately. You don't let them go on. And if you let them go on, it gets worse. So, again, we got a lot of lessons to learn by this situation going out. We should not be getting political with it. We should not be really taking sides. We should be taking principle and applying it and where we can, and if we don't know enough, when we hear a bit about, we need to study it more quickly, because this is affecting us, even though it looks like, you know, I've said this, the Palestinians are an open-air prison, the United States is one giant big open-air prison, you just don't recognize it. The Russian, in this case, the Russian representative, as bizarre as this sounds, folks, to those in America, those people that will say right, but not know a first thing about it, a Russian here reminds us of the truth of the obligations of an occupied people. The lack of right in an occupying force at home and abroad here, whether they, the people, whether at home or abroad, perceive that or not. My listener has always heard me say, with a strong foundation, Americans are an occupied people with on many fronts. And I think anybody who's been listening for all these years, there's not going to be much of a statement they can say against that. In fact, a lot of you will embrace that, and your whole observation of perception changes. You start finding things everywhere about how this thing is working. The problem is we don't see enough people with mutual understanding to make mutual action. And that's been my hesitation on a lot of this stuff. And we see this now, it's everywhere, it seems, as the world comes to terms with these global occupiers. The people of the United States of America must say enough is enough. As you're watching nations do that now against America. We're watching all this. It's happening exactly the way it's supposed to. It's natural law, actually, working out. We can call it international law. It's how right-thinking people, sovereigns, if I can say it, will respond in principle. And we, the people, saying enough, we have to resort to a constitutionally reserved power again. And if that corollary of international duty of throw off an occupier in our nation doesn't rest, we have the Constitution backing that up, and we have some things to do that we don't need to sit around too much. If we find people that are intent on our destruction, which require more than it will be require here more than commentary on the social media. Remember, this is the same social media created by the occupiers again to keep the people from exercising their reserved power. It's pretty interesting, fascinating. What we the people allow, and how we're control, how easy the chattel cattle, whatever, they'll make us sound like the human animal. How easy they know us better than ourselves, folks. How easy it is to control us, even get us involved to just take time to do that in the face of no response. It's interesting. And all this, the know you better than yourself. I've talked about it. The protocols of the elders of Zion. Stop looking at it as a Zionista paper that can be destroyed, a political thing. Go read it for the knowledge that's inside there, inside that document. It's very fascinating what that document will tell you when you strip it from all of its prejudice that I've heard in the world. So, these are elders of Zion. Oh, the Zionistas do not have a right of self-defense. All principle and law agrees with this. You've just heard the report now. All principle and law agrees, and there's no way to deny it except unless you're a criminal. It's pretty simple. Pure-blooded, principled Americans cannot disagree with this. I say pure-blooded now. We have to, I suppose. We don't know how the unpure-blooded are thinking anymore. This is another problem. That was an attack on the people, incapacitating a major portion of the population. As I look at it, I don't know how you would look at it, neither can the rest of the world, being internationally principled, not respond. And this international principles that we're talking about are time out of mind. They're how mankind has come through history and developed these things. It's not for a decision today. It's not for a cancel culture to decide. And when you understand how deep these things are rooted in mankind, you start to understand where that foundation is. It's not as frivolous as we hear today. So if you read carefully, very carefully, the Zionistas are claiming a messianic mission, which includes destruction of the United States. So those of us that may believe a Judeo-Christian, that sympathy with the Zionist, they may color of a Jew, these are all just titles. The actual action that these people that are running the government are of believing they're the literal chosen by God to make determinations to destroy evil. And the United States is part of that evil, notwithstanding its participation in the creation of that state. Please read very carefully for these things. Now, if you look at the United States, look how complete the Zionista agencies are, with whether by undue influence, such as elections, or may have infiltrated as a metastasizing cancer the United States government offices, of whom are taking action in the world. Just look at the propensity of this evil spirit that sits in the United States government, the decision makers. They have no principled behind them, and no principled, reasonable people would agree to any of this. But we seem to be, and that's another problem. We don't see the destruction they're causing to us. They incapacitate us by these decisions. You're watching the world's nations say so. Now, all this stuff should inform us, so there's notice and things, inform the people generally. We're in a joyride. The joyride is over. The precipice here is fast approaching with the Zio zombie drone under remote control. That's the government, with all these agents that are inside the government. When you look at the state of the people in America, I think my listener can agree with me. We have a lot of work to do, even if only individual self-preservation is still available. It's gotten down to that part. I don't see any way to say it's not. And I've been talking about this for, almost a decade and a half. And we were down that road, heading for that precipice, before I got to be able to start broadcasting. World War III has already started, Russian foreign policy expert says. I would have to say, but it's not the war that people think it is. Be careful not to be looking at the wrong thing. And yes, there's going to be death and destruction, but the world war is a different type of war that's going on for the utter destruction of people and history itself. The new global war comes as a series of intertwined conflicts rather than a single major one. Multifaceted attack as well. And this is also, it's overwhelming, absolutely overwhelming. I agree. I understand that. Very difficult to deal with. At some point, though, you have to pick one. And there's enough of us to pick one that we may find interest in to tune up with and move forward. I believe that. But whether that happens is a whole different thing. Of late, the world has been seeing old frozen conflicts getting reignited, says Fyodor Lukyanov, listing as examples the Nagorno-Karabakh hostilities, the Russian-Ukraine standoff, and the new escalation in the Middle East. The ongoing array of conflicts is effectively the New World War, which appears to significantly differ from the two global conflicts of the 20th century. Quote, the international order is breaking down. It was an unpleasant one based on the fear of mutual destruction, but manageable. Wars in the Middle East have erupted before, but the USSR and the USA intervened and extinguished them until the next conflict. Now I don't see even a temporary settlement mechanism, Lukyanov said. He noted that the Palestinian militant group Hamas has apparently picked the right moment to strike against Israel, given that the country has experienced, quote, permanent internal chaos for over a year already. This is what I was telling you. It looked like Hamas really were doing their homework and really picked the right time. This gentleman is seeing the same thing. He's seeing, though, we're in a world war. It's been going on. It's now starting to fester. It's starting to break out. And there's no, right now, most of the mechanisms have been eliminated. And I was telling you as they were going on, you can't stop your diplomatic conversation. If you do that, you're in a lot of trouble real fast. Another country here that has experienced a permanent internal chaos for over a year already, in the continuation was one of the things he mentioned. But it started before Russia-Ukraine. It was the starting of why Russia started to take notice, and they only acted about 9 years later from the encroachment of the internal permanent chaos that the United States will set up. that you see Israel in setting up Hamas and sticking them in the Palestinian people has set up. It's the same model over and over. Madan snipers, the founding myth of new Ukraine, has been proven to be a lie. Why is the West silent? Earlier this month, the District Court of Kiev announced in its findings in a case that had dragged on since 2015, politically, this was, or should have been, Ukraine's single most important trial since independence in 1991. The judges closed, at least for now, as appeals have already been announced, the country's attempt to come to terms judicially with the darkest moment of what has been called a revolution as well as a coup. Ukrainian courts are not politically independent. I have to interject, I don't think any of them are. When you look at what they're doing, and you saw the Bar Association runs all rule of law and democracy, it's a brand, and you notice that they promote sustainable development, which is a political attack. They're not politically independent. Notwithstanding, they're supposed to be checking in this co-equal existence in the government of the United States. They're supposed to be checking the excesses, and it doesn't happen. So this is a truism across the nation, across the world. Ukrainian courts are not politically independent. Judges, whatever their own views or professional ethics, work under the threat of ostracism and violence from Ukrainians' far right. That is not experienced in the United States. I'm not saying it should be. What I'm saying is that we should never allow these people to come in and overthrow the permanent laws of the people for a Model Business Corporation Act and then work through international proclivities and advance international norms. That's what we should never have allowed. And yet, here on this story, as Kachikanovsky has pointed out, buried in the million-word finding of the recent verdict, the court has recognized several facts that confirm his interpretation of the Madan massacre, claims advanced prior by Canadian-Ukrainian political scientist Ivan Kachanovsky. Even now, the Ukrainian information war outlet Euromaidan Press, for instance, still combines a personal attack on Kachanovsky, I might actually get that name by the end of this article, with disinforming its readers, claiming that the verdict somehow contradicts his findings, which are, by the way, badly misrepresented. The opposite is the case. This is just the latest example of a deep culture of disinformation and self-disinformation that has been taking root in the West. While Western elites may well lie deliberately much of the time, substantial parts of the Western media, it seems, have come to not only believe their lies or those of favorite clients and allies, but to defend them with vigor that betrays psychological investment. The emotionally charged reality denial around Hillary Clinton's richly deserved defeat in the United States elections in 2016, quote, Russiagate, the bizarre doublethink regarding Western forces and or Ukraine blowing up the Nord Stream, thereby committing an act of war among allies and of eco-terrorism, Israel's right to defend itself, interpreted as the permission to commit crimes against humanity with Western support, all are instances of a form of collective self-indulgence. To many people in the West, still claiming to be the world's value guardian, practice lying and lying to themselves as if that is their special birthright. Yet these lies and fiercely guarded illusions corrupt individuals and politics, polarize societies, disrupt international relations, last but not least, cost lives, thousands, tens of thousands, and in the case of Ukraine, by now, hundreds of thousands. Conflict is normal in human life and to some extent inevitable. Driving yourself insane with dishonesty is not, and it certainly does not help keep the peace. I can't agree with that at all more, because it's what I tell you. Law, objective law, brings peace. It's the evasion of that you are going to have problems. And look at what Israel is in through that article. They have never comported themselves to anything objective that the world would say would be normal to act by and to not commit the genocide that they're doing. And yet they still continue and are allowed to continue what's going on, which is a shame on everybody else. But what peace? With Zionista scum like the ADL, folks, and as I've suggested defamation may be available to stop this Zionista propaganda tool, because it certainly didn't stop when Elon Musk took the bribe from Greenblatt to resume advertising on X to continue ADL defamation in what may be hate speech or violent speak against others, contrary to X Twitter rules. ADL drops conservative Jewish activists from list of extremists. Jewish activists. I'm talking Zionist political movement. If you don't understand to keep this separate, you won't understand what's going on, why I'm so certain about what I say. We're not dealing with a group of people of a religious faith in these political people, these organizations. These are propaganda tools. These are attack vectors for people. Now, we, for a large part, we don't know how to deal with them. They've been very, ADL has been very, very successful at what they do. They're a fraud. The owners of Libs of TikTok have threatened to sue the Anti-Defamation League for defamation. The Anti-Defamation League, we should drop the A anymore, has removed Chaya Rachlik, a conservative influencer who runs a web of Libs of TikTok social media accounts from its list of extremists. Rachlik said that the move came in response to weeks of legal threats. The ADL finally caved after immense pressure and threats to legal action and removed my name from the glossary of extremists, the activist wrote on X. Just goes to show that ADL knows I'm not a violent extremist. The decision to put me on their glossary of extremism was all political theater. Rachik wrote, describing the ADL as a propaganda tool of the radical left. Ex-owner Elon Musk claimed last month that the ADL was pressuring his platform to shut down Rachik's account and teased a giant data dump of internal communications between the advocacy group and X. I don't know that that ever happened. Why did he not do it? The billionaire had also threatened to sue ADL, accusing the group of trying to kill X by burying it, and by extension Musk himself, in false allegations of anti-Semitism. Remember, you're dealing with a Zionist political federation, as His Majesty agreed in Balfour letters. You're not dealing with a group of people. And the political group is not a Semite. The Palestinians are. But moving on here, false allegations of anti-Semitism. Companies were being directly pressured by groups to pull their ads from the platform, he said. But he doesn't sue. This Jewish lady does. And they back off. And so this is a bully. But this is a propaganda tool that will attempt to get people to believe it's anti-Semitism to talk against the Zionist Federation, which is killing people in Israel under the color of protecting Jewish people. When we know the history says they use Jewish people. But not all Jewish people agree with any of that, what they're doing anyway. So all this is about perception, what something looks like, the so-called optics. And from the Department of Fake It Until You Make It, Israelis, Zionistas, wear yellow stars at the UN. Israel's ambassador of the to the UN United Nations, Gilead Erdan, has said that he and his team will wear yellow stars at the Security Council sessions until it issues a full condemnation of the atrocities Hamas committed on October 7th, and as he accused the international body of inaction over the attack of the Jewish state. That's the same Jewish state that when the UN did act to condemn their actions, they will not comply. And now they're committing genocide. So don't ever forget here, always, 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 Zionistas are a political movement. The Zionist Federation is not something I called them. I only know what I read from history. They are not Jewish. They are not religious. They'd use that as a cover. Well, unless it's they're religious, if it serves their deceitful, demonic ambitions. Please look and read for this stuff. The deceit is at such a level that the act was condemned, only to promote the Zionist agenda using Jews and promoting its criminality, invasive geopolitical movement aided and abetted by the West, in particular His Majesty. Remember, this is the orientation we need to combat. The United Kingdom. They developed and called what they called the State of Israel. It's not. Now, there is an argument under international law, two nations that recognize something makes it so. But this is fraud. So I don't think you can recognize fraud to make it so. Equity would destroy that in a heartbeat if we had such a thing in the rule of law and democracy brand of injustice. We don't. That's now the people have to step up and demand it. And I see the world stepping up. I see that there is some spirit still. It's kind of neat to see. We're still not real formidable in how we pull that together. Moving on here, reading. Erdogan's pledge to wear the yellow star at the UN session was swiftly condemned by Yad Vashem, Israel's official memorial to victims of the Holocaust, whose director Dayen wrote on social media that it dishonors both the victims of the Holocaust and the state of Israel. Well, there is no actual lawful state of Israel. We can call it that. This is a fraud. This is a fraud foisted upon a people and a territory. They're occupiers. It's understood under international law, notwithstanding whatever the Zionists would say. They're just a criminal in my mind. You know, why would you give them the right to say to say no when every evidence says that they are? I don't even know how this thing could have blew up the way it did and where it continued. And here's an amateur Zionista attempt by a pathological lying psychopath. Pathological lying psychopath. That's pretty devious. Netanyahu apologizes to Israeli security services. The prime minister has retracted claims that he was not warned on October 7th Hamas attack. He's a liar right there. Benny Gantz, a member of Israel's war cabinet and former defense minister, urged Netanyahu to retract his statement, and stop dealing with the issue. When we are at war, leadership must show responsibility and the strength of the forces that are in and strengthen the forces in a way that can realize what we demand from them. Any other action or statement harms the people's ability to stand and their strength, he added. The rebuke was also echoed by opposition leader Yair Lapid, who accused the prime minister of crossing a red line while Israeli soldiers are fighting bravely against Hamas and Hezbollah. The prime minister is trying to blame them instead of supporting them. As a result, Netanyahu backtracked on his comments on Sunday, admitting that he was wrong in issuing a formal apology. I give full backing to all the heads of the security service. I am sending strength to the IDF chief of staff and the commanders and soldiers of the IDF who are on the front lines and fighting for our home. I hope you can hear this deceiver right here. This guy is not genuine at all. He's a political animal. He's a demon, actually. This guy is killing people, and he was wrong. What else is he wrong about? His comments came after the U.S. Foreign Affairs Committee head Michael McCaul claimed earlier this month that Egypt, which borders Gaza, warned Israel of potential violence several days before the attack. Netanyahu, however, dismissed reports about the specific Egyptian warning as totally fake news. Well, I heard Trump say that too, didn't I? Wonder what he was caught actually with. Anyway. All these folks, everyone just go, the criminals just go, it's fake news. No one goes by the evidence. I want to go back to what he said on this. Claiming to send strength is not being strong. Neither is this a sincere communication, more than appeasement. So I hope you hear that. This Netanyahu guy is really, really dangerous. Again, I guess if you look at who you associate with and Biden cuddling up to these folks, I don't know. I don't know what we're dealing with in the world. I don't know what we keep allowing in the world, but it persists. It's very powerful. And I don't want to go too far beyond that. There's a spirit about it, and that's why it's powerful. And we don't have enough people stepping up that are more righteous than that, I think, because we're allowing the evil to happen. We're allowing crime to happen. We're not looking at the most basic foundations to assert against people who make excuses to continue to allow it to happen, plausibly so. Now, here, more dangerous than these just singular psychopaths is when they're working in concert. Illicit conspiracy, hiding under color of a false authority or fraud is what I'm talking about. We can read here in the next article, you're either with us or Hamas. Where have we heard that before? This model goes and repeats itself. these criminals, these war criminals, use it over and over. And reading here, there can be no neutrality regarding the Middle East conflict. A spokesman from Israel's foreign ministry has claimed. Hayat said Israel had received unprecedented international support after the attack because no one could see those atrocities and not understand what we are dealing with. Speaking at a virtual meeting briefing on Friday, Lior Hayat described Israel's intention to obliterate Hamas as an existential goal. Can I say that again? Existential goal. Quote, I want to send a very clear message to the international community. If you do not condemn Hamas, if you do not support Israel's right to self-defense, you are supporting Hamas. I want to return to that. Existential goal first, and then address this other part. It's not existential threat. Very interesting, isn't it? Very interesting on that. Let's step back a couple, though. It is an atrocity that Britain wrongfully injected a political movement called Zionist Federation, which abused the Jews, operating under color of a legitimate possession of territory it invaded, and under a color of a legitimate government over that stolen territory. So, we take a couple steps back from that, say no, just as any occupying lawless force has no right to self-defense, Zionists have no right to frame the condition of their non-acceptance, being criminal usurpers and occupiers, aided and abetted and fostered and encouraged by certain other nations. I will add these are unprincipled, heathen, even demonic governments of the world, such as the United States and the United Kingdom. I'm going to pause on this one. Folks in the United States, the United Kingdom, you really have to think about what we're doing in the world relative to the Zionistas and killing a bunch of people over there. The Zionista occupiers have no right to be outraged whether or not the Zionista regime conveniently reframes such things as criticism, what are actually criminal allegations. When an occupier designates babies as terrorists, they are a psychopathic regime. How anybody can tolerate that? It's stomach-turning to me. Because any of us doesn't condemn Hamas, the organization that the occupier created, remember, with the help of others, with the purpose to control the population, is not in agreement with the political tool of the occupier called Hamas, and likely is the condemnation of the occupier. However, ostensibly benevolent as international law, time out of mind unequivocally recognizes. If we just approach the law and apply it, these people haven't a place. The point here being, and I want to send a very clear message to the international community from behind which it, no occupier has the right and cannot be allowed to frame their oppression as virtue or in an order to place blame on another. That's another type of fraud for its criminal behavior causing irreparable harm. Getting rid of Hamas here will not remove their occupation, let alone the lawless occupying regime acting under color of authority. So understand this thing. They're not going to fix it by getting rid of Hamas. They are still there. The occupier here should have never been created and recognized by the nations of the world and needs to be eliminated in favor of peaceful resolution, as I have previously outlined in the past cast. I've explained how that really should go on. And again, it's not going to find much support in the world. There's no right to taking over a people like they have done. Others that are dangerous here are the ISIS, Zionista puppeteers within the United States. As I talked earlier in the broadcast about, U.S. compares anti-Jewish riots in the 20th century as pogroms, kind of eliciting the Russian issue to try and focus attention over there. Maybe we won't look at the crimes of the United States and what it's done. But Russian President Vladimir Putin earlier blamed the anti-Semitic unrest at Mykolaiv Airport on Western intelligence agencies. Well, this looks like a CIA setup. Now, Russia took a very quick approach to this, and I appreciated how quickly they responded, given it looked like it was set up by Western intelligence services, as this statement says. The United States Department and White House have likened Sunday's anti-Jewish riot in Russia's southern Republic of Dagestan to the 20th century pogroms. American officials also denied Washington involvement after Russia President Vladimir Putin claimed the Western Special Services were behind the unrest. Speaking during a press briefing in Washington, D.C. on Monday, State Department spokesman Matthew Miller said, "I saw the video, and I'm sure all of you did. It looked like a pogrom to me." So where deterrence was an early word of the week, now we got pogroms. Now we're attempting to bring in foreigners into a crime that we're committing to make it look like we're not doing anything. Russia did it again, I guess. Commenting on Russian official claims that the events of Dagestan have been instigated by external actors, Kirby described this statement as classic Russian rhetoric. Isn't that the same rhetoric in the United States going on here? Well, there's something goes like, when something like goes like bad in your country, just blame someone else. Blame it on outside influence, the official said, insisting that West had nothing to do with this. One of their agents could have. When something goes bad, you blame it on somebody else. Isn't that what they did with Russiagate? Isn't that what they've been doing all along in the United States? So, we're all these nations do the same thing, apparently, when it serves them. However, I do believe this was an attack on Russia. They were attempting to hunt down Jews that were supposedly fleeing from Israel. And so, but that was a setup. It wasn't true. So this looked more like a color revolution action here. And so, but again, getting back to what the United States asserted, isn't exactly what the United States has been caught doing both internationally and domestically, this little trick. It's pretty impressive how we look right past some of this stuff. Oh, we all patriotic America, America, you know, cheerleaders. It's perfectly ridiculous. And I don't know why there's, again, there's, looking disgusted with my Twitter feed, how people are persuaded in all these areas is really kind of fascinating. It's scary in heck, but it's fascinating. So the Russians did it here, and the United States is telling you what they do right there to try and say, explain, give you the idea that maybe they don't. I mean, when something goes bad in your country, just blame somebody else, blame it on outside influence, should be a motto on the fiat dollar right below the New World Order out of chaos, shouldn't it? This has been going on for a long time, this technique, as we now justify striking Syria. Again, this is all part of that PNAC document, the advance of going through these countries. Washington claims that protecting its illegal outpost is consistent with international law. Remember, the United States is not asked to be in these countries. So consider this blame somebody else issue. We're saying that we're acting consistent with international law. Absolutely cannot be supported. And I cannot believe Biden even, this came out of Biden's mouth here, or maybe it did. Maybe it's a letter. Oh, a letter to the U.S. lawmakers published on Friday. The White House said that the air operations were in line with presidential war powers. We don't have a declared war. Oh, they're going to slip. They're slipping one through. They're slipping one through on a three-word phrase. And I'm not quite sure if that's even lawful, what's going through right now relative to Israel and supporting it. And I don't, and this is going to be a serious problem. Presidential war powers without a declared war have followed repeatedly attacks against the United States personnel and facilities in Iraq and Syria this month. Well, an easy answer to that, folks, is get out of the country you don't have possession of. Stop your foreign entanglement. Quote, at my direction on the night of October 26, 2023, United States forces conducted targeted strikes against facilities in eastern Syria, Biden said, adding that the sorties hit sites used by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and affiliated groups. It's none of their business, actually. They're not supposed to be there. What you notice is they do not cite any law, international law, they're consistent with. Just the war powers. Which on a place that they have not declared war. Again, the war on terror is not declaring war. And so we have a very big failure in the United States, and the people are watching, gawking at this, the ability to be criminals in the world, be brute force and nothing more. Israel and Hamas claim to represent the people while getting them killed. The latest war in the Holy Land offers no clear-cut victories as civilians on both sides suffer from effects of poor leadership. It's the effects of fraud. It's the effect of the violation, generally, of the United Nations and international law. But moving on, Israeli and Hamas officials both claim to be killing the bad guys in order to defend their people, but their actions seem to suggest otherwise. Yeah. Well, Hamas is made by Israel, it seems, doesn't it? Why wouldn't it? This is a whole set-up plan. But, as I said, Hamas was created. It's an organism. It's not going to die. And so, they've created a creature that's kind of gotten away. And maybe rightfully so at some point. But we'll see. As the nations support Israel, the occupier that has no rights to self-defense. The people here on either side are not their people, if you've been listening to what I've been saying. Given Hamas was created by us, Israel and the United States, Mossad, and on the other side, so-called the Jews were used by the Zionistas, neither people can be considered their people. The people are foreign and used as pawns by each warring faction. And I'm hoping more people see this. Do not engage in the belief that the governments, the militaries, are the people. In this case, it's really clearly obvious. It's not so easy to see that in the United States or anywhere else, but that's neither here nor there relative to, let's see it for the first time in a place where we can. Israel told U.S. mass civilian casualties were acceptable, an acceptable price of Gaza campaign. Now it's a campaign, not a war. It's an existential goal, not a threat. Put the pieces together. You see the crime, right? It's issuing from their lips. Is it really acceptable? Is it an acceptable price? Mass civilian casualties. The criminal will justify it, but it's not. As Biden justifies under international law, he can't quote the attack of people that have right to be in a nation. When they don't have the right, the United States does not have the right to be in those nations. And if we don't keep these things straight, well, if we don't, how do we expect to be treated correctly where we live? And we're not. And I think that's part of the answer too. Civilian casualties in Gaza doesn't matter. Another story by Lindsey Graham. Not even part of that area. No, one of our Congress critters, criminal Congress critter. Lindsey Graham insists no amount of Palestinian deaths should make Washington put the brakes on Israel. Absolutely denying any obligation whatsoever under international law. This is disgusting. I don't have words anymore. I told you this a long time ago. My adjectives are just gone. How bad these people are. How demonic and evil these people are. Civilian casualties don't matter. See, there is no Palestinians, remember? Israel just said that. Not just months ago. Don't forget all this stuff is put together. Lindsey Graham is a criminal. He's representing the people of the United States. And civilian casualties don't matter. Really? Wow. They'll use the World War II, the bombing of Dresden, the destruction of all the civilians there, of Germany, as their license here. Like we didn't learn, folks. Remember, we didn't learn history. They took away our statues, I guess. I cannot see a reasonable, principled people thinking what he just says here is correct. How Israel is treating this condition correctly. Remember, they've caused it. They've been interjected and then made it worse. And if you don't understand that, go do some research. Please, educate yourself. Get on the correct side of the interpretation. As I've been saying, like Kobe said, put yourself on the right side of history on this thing. Don't go with the officials that are not doing the objective duty that the law says they should be following. Those laws and objective duties are there, and the due process behind it is there for a reason. If you don't, you get genocide. If you don't follow it, you get genocide. You get criminals agreeing with each other. So you get some that aren't going to agree, and we're seeing evidences of that. Enough's enough, and I'm happy to see some of these voices come out. I don't care about their politics. I don't want to give a name, communism, socialism. It's so now under the bridge about this stuff. Where the world is moving is none of that. The South America state cuts ties with Israel over crimes against humanity in Gaza. Bolivia has alleged that the IDF has committed atrocities in targeting the Palestinians. Quote, Bolivia decided to break the diplomatic relations with the State of Israel in repudiation and condemnation of the aggressive and disproportionate Israel military offensive taking place in the Gaza Strip, Deputy Foreign Minister Freddy Mamani, I do have some dyslexia going here, it seems, don't I? It said at a press conference, as quoted by the Associated Press, Acting Foreign Minister Maria Nella Prada accused Israel of committing crimes against humanity in Gaza, calling on the Israeli government to cease attacks in the Gaza Strip that have already resulted in thousands of civilians and the forced displacement of Palestinians. Again, I thought it was their land anyway, being in the open-air prison, but no, you see, it's not. No, you see that the Zionists in the United States are plotting and planning to continue to occupy that place when Hamas is gone. Hamas is not the problem. Hamas is just an excuse. But Hamas is an entity, and it's not going to die. And it has a cause now it can pick up. This may be even worse. I don't know if that's part of the plan, too, but I do know that once an organism is made, it doesn't want to die so easy. She also demanded an end to the Israeli blockade in Gaza that prevents the entry of food, water, and essential elements of life in violation of international humanitarian law. Do you get that, folks? I've been had my essential services cut off since July 4th, the hottest weekend in the whole year. That's an international law, a humanitarian law violation. Do you think anybody cares? I know my listener probably cares about me, but do you think anybody cares in the legal system? No. And this is what we're watching. I tell you, the reflection I get to, even locally, is this thing right here. That it takes a bunch of people to actually take action in condemnation of this nonsense. If they start cutting Israel off, like of all of its life services too, then maybe it's going to start to feel the pain as well as one potential help. And it may be starting to happen. There's being calls for taking energy away from Israel. And so we'll see. We'll see what mankind wants to do. Another type of crime against mankind, Roundup herbicide. Now we're moving on, moving away from all that terrible stuff over there. But it's now global. All this stuff is licensed corporations, licensed by government, accepted, and it shouldn't be. And then years later, we find out the crime against humanity and mankind, whichever. If you're a humanist, I guess it's humankind. Otherwise, it's mankind for my interpretation. The Roundup herbicide ingredients connected to epidemic levels of chronic kidney disease. Roundup is a glyphosate-based herbicide used to control weeds and other pests. But because it is supposed to break down in the environment within a few days or weeks to use, is a relatively underregulated by most public health officials. But when glyphosate encounters certain trace metal ions that make hard water, like magnesium and calcium, glyphosate metal ion complexes can form. Those complexes can persist up to 7 years in water and 22 years in soil. 22 years in soil. It was always thought that these chemicals would break down very quickly in the environment, but it seems to stick around a lot longer than we expected when it complexes in hard water. One thing I want to point out here, and this is my problem, I've been talking about this forever, is the persistence fraud. It was persistent when they were claiming it wasn't. I found interesting the mechanism may have been found, and it has to do with your minerals in the soil. I needed an S, didn't I? So that was very, very interesting. But remember, glyphosate is nothing more than a metals ion binder. And so this should have been pretty much on the top of the table if Monsanto wasn't going to be deceptive and commit fraud. But now years later, we're finding out why the people that use it are getting hurt. Another crime against mankind. I just don't know what to say. And can be licensed by a company in the United States that thinks that profit is commerce is more important than you. And I don't want to get too environmental about it, but this is one of those things that, of many things. Like warp speed attack that we suffered. It's all sitting there to be exposed. Not just, oh, look what they did. I mean, shut it down. Just shut this stuff down. Shut down the posers. Shut down this people that will aid and abet genocide. You don't think that giving license to Monsanto to do that isn't a form of genocide? See, we're allowing it. It's a spirit in us, so we need to exorcise. And from this, we keep now moving into through some science a bit, some agriculture, some production. So we now see in this next story that sustainable stack'em and pack'em causes epidemics, not pandemics either. The pandemic is a made-up situation that we see in this story. Stack'em and pack'em is the cause for epidemic. Who would have thunk it was? Like, we haven't talked about this before. Remember, it was likely sanitation and space that allowed health, where before in history we were not so sanitary and that caused a lot of disease, as we see today in any third world country. Farm animals' hidden role in shaping the health crisis that have hit human civilization. As a humanist writing this, researchers determined that the bacterium responsible for the plague was present at low levels for 5,700 to 2,700 years ago and triggered a major epidemic, not a pandemic, because that's a brand new invention, an epidemic, folks, in the Roman Empire around 540 CE. By the medieval era, it became a leading cause of death, as proved by findings in Danish burial sites. Conversely, LBRF peaked about 2,000 years ago when the plague activity was low, potentially because of overcrowding and poor sanitation. The team suggests that lifestyle changes millennia ago resulted in a surge of zoonotic disease influencing human history and health. So, lifestyle changes, sanitary, not novel vaccines, is the answer, isn't it? Who'd have thunk it? So what would the researchers say about the lifestyle change of psychopaths not inventing novel synthetic agents causing disease? What do you think they'd say about that? I think our answers are a whole lot closer and simple. Moving on to more of this sustainable nonsense and where the future is going. It's amazing. Tyson Foods announces partnership with Protix for more sustainable protein production. The partnership represents Tyson Foods' commitment to continuous innovation, business growth, and working towards sustainable solutions. One of the world's largest food companies has reached the agreement for a twofold investment with Protix, the leading global insect ingredients company. Yum. The strategic investment, talk about a war against mankind. The strategic investment will support the growth of an emerging insect ingredient industry and expand on the use of insect ingredient solutions to create more environment-efficient, sustainable proteins and lipids for use in the global food system and likely an mRNA jab near you. There's a lipid right there. The agreement combines Tyson Foods' global scale, experience, and network with Protix technology and the market leadership to meet current market demand and scale production of insect ingredients. Upon completion, it will be the first at-scale facility of its kind to upcycle food manufacturing byproducts into high-quality insect proteins and lipids, which will primarily be used in pet food, aquaculture, and livestock industries. Unless you eat your dog or your cat or your hamster, you're going to be getting this high-quality insect protein, and you will eat Z-bugs anyway. In your jab will probably be these lipids. But anyway, interesting integration in the world. Isn't it all sustainable solutions, folks? Soylent Green sounds fun, you insect human. Sustainability change agent for population management, as we see this next story. And yes, this is how my mind works as I'm going through this. And look at this, and look at this, and boy, this ties into here. And this talks about that, right, consistent with this other stuff. So this is how part of this broadcast works. You can't listen to me for 20 seconds or 20 minutes. You really got to listen for a while and understand underlying why I'm talking about this stuff. It seems so disparate. Sustainability Change Agent for Population Management, I'm talking about Boris Johnson, wanted to let COVID kill the elderly that we didn't know before. Anyway, it's coming out. These people are, again, demonic. I don't know what the only word that comes to mind is broadcast is demonic. These people are just don't belong here. Former UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson was fixated throughout the COVID-19 crisis on elderly people accepting their fate and saw the virus as nature's way of dealing with old people. An inquiry in Downing Street's handling of the pandemic has heard. These are the leaders that were making decisions. They thought it was a good thing. Again, sustainable solutions is the population control methods that they're looking to do. Right? So this undersits there. But don't worry about Johnson's meddling in the future relative to wanting your grandmother and grandfather die. And remember, COVID-19 was symptoms. No one died from the symptoms, first of all. Secondly, they started dying after the jab. As I told you, it was a bioweapon. Why? Because your local communicable disease code said that it needed to be demonstrated what the infectious agent and then treatment as a vaccine stops that from infecting others. None of that happened. These were not vaccines. And then you go read your local, and this is what I want to guide you to. You go look at that local communicable disease law, and you listen to this story, and you realize they're violating the law right off the bat. The air vaccine, they call it, is here. No needle necessary to get mRNA technology into humans. The software of life, folks. Programming into you the heart. Sudden death, dying suddenly. That's what it's programming into you, whatever it's doing it. The air vaccine is here, and its ability to deliver mRNA technology in the human body. I hope you're not a human. Without a needle injection, the mRNA can be delivered right into your lungs, right there into your lungs, right to the lungs, as Geats might say, and has been used to vaccinate mice intranasally. And I think I did that report. My team from Yale University developed a new airborne method from delivering mRNA right to your lungs. The method has also been used to vaccinate mice intranasally, opening the door to human testing in the near future. While scientists may celebrate the invention as a convenient method to vaccinate large populations, skeptics have stated to raise an obvious concerns about the potential misuse of the airborne vaccine, including the possibility of covert bioenhancements and concept that has previously been suggested in academic literature. So this is a facial violation of local communicable disease law, which requires approved treatment only for demonstrated principles of contagion by individual basis, person by person, should I say, and then only for their doctor and patient to deem appropriate. Go look at your communicable disease law. It will say this is a violation. There is no mass vaccination that's supposed to be done under that law. And that's why I was telling you to be very careful what's coming in the future. Okay, that I don't pull stuff together just to talk about it. They're telling us the news and the notice of the future, and they're telling us what they're going to do, and I've told you there's things in the law that can shut it down. And you start hearing this kind of stuff, you got to have to understand about, like I said, the habeas. You're going to have to understand your legal remedies, injunctions. You need to stop it where you have not been found and determined to be the principal of contagion. You're not supposed to be infected. That goes for lots of subject matters. I hope something I said today will help you, instruct you, guide you, give you a thought, come up with your own stuff, and I'll be with you next week. Tech diffs are nature willing.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
for opening up a can of whoop-ass to you, Zach.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.